You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we recap the biggest stories from around the state this week in our Wisconsin News Roundup.
First, salmon is the third most popular seafood eaten in North America, and our guest on today's edition of Food Friday is a Major League Salmon fan. She has ideas for cooking salmon on the stove, in the oven, on the grill, or not cooking it at all.
Diane Morgan joins us now. She's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author, food writer, and recipe developer. Her new book is called Salmon, Everything You Need to Know, Plus 45 Recipes. Diane, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you.
Well, it seems like you don't just kind of like salmon. It seems like you're in love with salmon. Why are you so into the fish?
I feel good eating it. I love how delicious it is in so many different preparations. It's just an all-around, you know, health booster and health and wellness booster, and just the delight of cooking it in the kitchen. I truly can eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had some for breakfast this morning, and I'm having it for dinner tonight.
Well, that's something I took away from your book. It's really versatile. Why, you can do just about anything with salmon.
Right. You can, if you love a tartare preparation, you can do salmon tartare. If you like ceviche, you can make salmon ceviche. If you have the simplest of kitchens and the most basic cooking skills, you can put it in a low oven and turn out a beautiful piece of fish. So it's just so versatile that way. You know, for backyard barbecue enthusiasts, you've got it made. You can grill it, you can plank it, you can smoke it. It's just ideal.
You said you had it for breakfast and you're going to have it for dinner. What recipes did you have for breakfast and what's up for dinner?
For breakfast, I actually had a gravlax style that I did in the book. I had done a filet last week. And so I just had a goat cheese schmear on a toasted grainy loaf and laid some salmon on top of it. And for dinner, I'm actually going to slow roast it, and I have some, it's sort of a play on a couple of recipes in the book. I'm slow roasting it. There was some gorgeous local asparagus in the market, so I'm going to do that with just a little bit of a butter glaze over the top.
Before we get into some specific recipes, you give a lot of basics in the book about selecting and preparing salmon. So let's say we're at the store. What are we looking for in a good salmon to prepare?
Well, we're coming into salmon season now. You know, most of the wild-caught salmon coming in the markets these days will be coming out of Alaska. The season's going to start in about 2 weeks. And you're going to see lots of beautiful sockeye fillets in the market to begin with, and then some kings. And later in the season, you're going to go into the silver coho salmon. So the big fish that's filled with the omega-3s and that really gorgeous salmon color that we all know, that's what's coming into the market in, you know, shortly. So I think it's really important to understand that salmon has a season, just like asparagus or strawberries or peaches, and that's when the best prices are available to the consumer. And year-round, there is nothing wrong with flash frozen salmon that you can buy. And to fully complement what's in the market, you're going to see farm salmon. And my best suggestion is to put on your cell phone the app from the Monterey Bay Seafood Watch Program. You download the app, you plug in salmon, and you will see all the fish that are good to eat, the ones to be concerned about and others to avoid. It's really straightforward.
Well, let's say you do that, and that's the Monterey Bay Aquarium app for fish. So they're going to check it out ahead of time and let you know if it's sustainable and whether you should pick something else to be more responsible. But let's say you've got one that is on their recommended list. What do you recommend personally for taste?
Well, my top of my list will always be wild-caught salmon. And the abundance is coming out of Alaska, so look for that. I was actually at a market yesterday, and I'm sure the guy thought I was sort of a competitor to their store, but I was taking pictures of what was in the case because I just wanted to really get the full breadth and kind of check it against the Monterey Bay app. And there was a farm salmon from Iceland, and it was something that, you know, I'm going to research a little bit more because that's typically farmed in open ocean pens, and it may or may not be best practices. I need to read more about it, it just in terms of Iceland itself. So it's really important for the consumer to know what they're buying, make friends with the fishmonger behind the case, ask questions, and just learn a little bit more about it.
Talking to Diane Morgan. Her new book is Salmon, Everything You Need to Know, plus 45 recipes. In a lot of the preparation, when you're talking fillets, you say, hey, get that out of the refrigerator about half an hour or so before you start cooking. Why is that?
Just don't want it stone cold. It's like any protein, that just getting that refrigerator chill off of it just makes it easier to cook because it's not refrigerator cold. So that for me follows through with fish as well. And a half hour is plenty of time to take off the chill, but not be in any way in a danger zone of growing bacteria.
Let's get into a couple of the recipes that you shared with us. And these are up on the Central Time Facebook page right now. And I want to start with one for slow-cooked salmon with spring vegetables. Tell us about this. This isn't a slow cooker recipe. It's just cooked slowly. But how does this one go?
You set your oven to 250 degrees. You line a rim baking sheet with some foil. And the only reason for that is just to save some cleanup. And I typically do this with center cut fillets that are a little bit thicker. You know, 5 or 6 ounces is a plenty size for a individual portion. And in this case, I remove the skin and I remove the pin bones. You can remove pin bones with a needle nose plier. I have one dedicated to the kitchen, so it doesn't go from the workshop to the kitchen. And if you want, you can ask the person behind the fish case to take off the skin for you if you don't want to do that. And I rub it with a little bit of olive oil, sprinkle it with lightly with some sea salt, some black pepper, a pinch of cayenne. And I am slow roasting it in the oven. So once you've seasoned it and rubbed it with a little oil, it goes into the oven. And while it's cooking, which takes about 20 to 25 minutes, you are part cooking some little carrots. You're blanching some asparagus spears that I've cut into 2-inch lengths. And you're peas. You're just blanching the peas, mm-hmm. too. And then I'm making a really light white wine butter sauce, really light, doesn't take away from the fish, and that's all gets plated with the fish in the center, the cooked vegetables scattered around the side, and spooned over top is this lovely light white wine sauce.
Diane, you know, when I cook with a lot of kinds of meat, I'm worried about undercooking. With fish, I'm paranoid that I'm going to overcook it. How do I make sure, regardless of the preparation style, that I'm not overcooking my salmon?
Well, one of the best tools for your kitchen is an instant read thermometer. And it's, you know, they're about $10. And it's, I actually prefer the analog type to the digital type. And it's a great tool, whether you're cooking a steak or whether you're cooking a piece of salmon. And my recommendation is to cook your salmon to about 118 to 120 degrees. You know, once you get above 125, you're starting to get on the overcooked side. At 120, it's just flaking beautifully. It's really moist. It's perfect.
What is your favorite preparation? If you had just an old standby, maybe you wanted to have some people over for dinner, so it shouldn't be too simple, but it should still be something that you can return to again and again and not get tired of. What's your favorite preparation?
It truly is like, you know, picking your favorite child. It's hard. It's... In the summer, I love to grill outside, so putting salmon on a plank is really fun. You get this lovely smoky flavor. It's as easy as slow roasting because it's if you soak the plank ahead of time so it doesn't burn up on the grill, you lay the salmon on it. You don't need to take the skin off. It's really nice to remove the pin bones. And it's the same thing, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of seasoning, and on the plank, and it smoke grills on the grill, and it's fabulous. It's easy. It's big flavor, and then from there you can add a, you know, any side sauce you want, anything from barbecue sauce to a mango salsa, really up for grabs. But that's the basic, probably all-time favorite.
We're talking right now with Diane Morgan about her new book, Salmon, Everything You Need to Know, Plus 45 Recipes. Her recipes for salmon hash with Yukon Gold potatoes and herbs are up on the Central Time Facebook page.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you like to prepare salmon? How do you like to eat salmon? Are you looking for some new ideas? Or maybe you haven't quite figured out how to make it in a way that stays moist and tasty the way you want it. Diane has some tips to share. She can help you out. Call in now at 800-642-1234 or leave a question, a comment, or your favorite recipe on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our Food Friday conversation right now with James Beard award-winning cookbook author Diane Morgan about her new book, Salmon, Everything You Need to Know. Her recipes for slow-cooked salmon with spring vegetables and salmon hash with Yukon Gold potatoes and herbs are up on the Central Time Facebook page.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your comments. How do you like your salmon? How do you make it? What advice do you need? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll start off with Kathy in Fitchburg. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I used to be afraid to cook fish. I've never felt comfortable when it was done, how to do it, whatever. I met a guy at the Conscious Carnivore in Madison who he fishes Alaskan salmon, and he lives part-time, I think, in Verona. And the Alaskan Fisheries came out with recipes where you cook it from frozen, you put a little olive oil in a frying pan, cover it up, and you actually, the ice crystals sort of, they melt and they sort of steam the fish. And within a half an hour, like, I can not know what I'm going to have for supper. If I have some salmon in my freezer, I can just take it out of the freezer, and I make my own preserved lemons, throw some preserved lemons on top of it, and within a half an hour, I have this really wonderful, so easy dish to eat.
Kathy, thanks a lot for that call. So two thoughts there. Diane, one, know your fishmonger, and two, she talked about cooking from frozen. Do you have advice if we have that frozen salmon in the freezer and want dinner in the next hour or so?
That is a technique. I'm well aware of that technique. I didn't include it in the book, but I am well aware of that technique that they were promoting because they want people to know that fish straight out of the freezer, you don't have to have this panic that, oh, I didn't thaw anything for supper. And it does work. You know, it's not my top choice. I like to have a fish thaw slowly in the refrigerator for 24 hours so that the moisture in the fish, the cell structure doesn't break down. But it's totally viable. And yes, for those who are like, what do I do for dinner? And you have frozen salmon in the freezer, lucky you, then go for it.
Well, thank you for that call. And we go next to Kim in Menominee. Hi, Kim.
Hi there. So I go up to Alaska and I fish.
Yeah.
And I typically come back with a lot, well, enough, maybe a little more than enough. And then I'm wondering, so I plank it and I do all some great recipes to start with, but what if it's a few months out? The only things I know of is I do either a stovetop smoker or, you know, grill smoker with a plank or something. Do you have any other suggestions for a few months old in the freezer fish?
Great. Thank you, Kim. And Diana, what about it? Anything else?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I buy 100 pounds of salmon every summer at the height of the season. and I have it flash frozen and vacuum sealed. And so I have a freezer full, and we go through about that much in a year's time. And so there is nothing wrong if it is properly sealed to hold for a year. And so any preparation that I've come up with in the book is fine to use. It, you know, now, that said, braising and creating or making a chowder is an excellent way if you have fish that to you seems older to chunk it up and toss it in a chowder. Or I have a green curry braised salmon, bringing in some global flavors to the recipes in the book. And it has snow peas, it has shiitake mushrooms, and it's fabulous. It's another way to, you know, use salmon that isn't in top-notch shape.
Hope that helps out, Kim. We are talking to Diane Morgan. Her new book is Salmon, Everything You Need to Know. We'll go back to our callers with Dan on the line in Portage. Dan, hi.
Happy Friday, everyone.
You too. What do you want to know, Dan?
I have a fiance who is a chef that does outdoor cooking, and I was wondering if the guest had a particularly successful recipe for open fire salmon, so over a flame at a campsite or with a grill, something like that.
Speaking to my heart for live fire cooking. One of the things that's great, there's a couple ways you can go. One is to get your best beat up cast iron skillet and use that and make a little, you know, put a little grate on the grill for a level surface and pan sear the salmon in the cast iron skillet that's been slick with some oil. So that's an easy way to go. Another is you can buy these grill baskets that are long in the shape of a fish, and you can do a whole fish on the grill. So you keep the head and tail on if it'll fit, and the skin, and you stuff the inside with some lemon slices and maybe some fennel slices or some fresh herbs, and you stick the fish in the grate and you cook that over the fire. And so the skin is getting charred, but the fish inside is protected. And it's another great way to go.
Dan, thanks a lot for that. And we're going to move next to Bob in Amherst Junction. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Wow, what a great topic. So I go to Alaska, too, and generally during the silver season, bring home a lot of fish. But what I find here locally is more of the sockeye, and the sockeye has a different texture. It's not as firm as the fish that I catch and bring home. I don't know if it's because of the way it was prepared and frozen or if it's just the nature of that particular fish. So that's my question, but I also have a favorite recipe, which is just to pan sear in a cast iron skillet and prepare a garlic maple syrup and mustard glaze.
Huh.
And I found that is really popular even with young kids.
Great, Bob. Thank you so much for that. And Diane, what about the differences in texture of some of the varieties he was talking about there?
Yeah. So the silver salmon is a later fish in the runs of salmon coming through Alaska. Sockeye is the early one, and they're really, it's a thinner fish. It's higher in omega-3 fatty acids, but they're all high in omega-3s, so all good for you. And so it's really it's taking advantage of the thickness of the fish as to the best preparations, and I think planking sockeye because of its tender flesh is an easier and better preparation, or even slow roasting it, whereas the silvers have a little more versatility, slightly thicker fillet, little bit firmer, so you can play with it a little bit more. And I'm all a fan of his glaze. It sounds great. I mean, I was, for the size of the book, you know, 45 recipes was what was to be included. And, you know, I could have done 145. So I love hearing all these different ideas because they're great. And I can totally see that flavor combination with the salmon.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Diane, you include recipes for using your leftover salmon. So I don't think of fish usually as great leftover fodder, but you do.
Oh, my gosh. I love. In fact, I cook extra so that I have leftovers. Potato hash with salmon. Oh, my gosh. You can't beat it for a weekend brunch. And classic preparation, except that you're flaking in salmon. And it's fabulous. Leftover salmon with pasta, leftover salmon stirred into risotto, tacos. It's you know, even a frittata, just on and on with the options for it. So cook extra. Make it easy on yourself and, you know, cook once and end up with two different meals from it.
Fantastic. Diane, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Diane Morgan. She's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author. Her most recent cookbook is Salmon, Everything You Need to Know, plus 45 recipes. Well, we've got two of those recipes. You can find them on the Central Time Facebook page, links through to our show page. We've got those recipes up there. Let us know how they go. And we've got, what, salmon hash, Yukon Gold potatoes, and a slow-cooked salmon over on the Central Time Facebook page.